RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
At the 14-yard line, first and 10, Chargers. Herbert, shotgun. Empty backfield, takes the snap. Herbert firing over the middle, tipped and intercepted at the 1 yard line. The Texans have it. Azeez Al-Shaair, his second pick of the year, at a huge time to turn back the Chargers.
The momentum was starting
to
shift.
The ruling on the field is an interception by Houston at the 1 yard line.
In the favor of the Chargers, big play by Quentin Johnson. And I think Herbert just put too many revolutions on this one for Ronde Gadsden to hang on to it.
That's real nice of the quarterback to defend his quarterback. Shout out to Andre Ware. What a blessing it is to have that man on the broadcast. But he ain't had to do all that. Gadsden just dropped that thing, man. Don't blame that on Herbert.
Yeah.
Gadsden just dropped that thing.
What a rough day for him.
Boy. But he's a rookie, ain't he? He's young. But shout out to our very own Azeez Al-Shaair, the green dot, the captain of the defense. He is very much shaking that idea that he can't catch the football. He was like, two of the AFC West teams, I'm picking them off. I'm getting the interception.
Yes.
That was very necessary for the Texans to get their victory 20-16 versus the Los Angeles Chargers and officially punch their ticket into the playoffs. That, I imagine, we might talk about, but I don't know exactly where we're going, but I want to go. The OG is not here, but I would like to get B. Scott's passing thoughts.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
Now tell me you're not going into the locker room and doing whatever he said there.
No, I'm not doing none of that. You can rest assured that. but let's build off the thought here from the highlight of Azeez Al-Shaair and his interception and him, like you said, dispelling the notion that he doesn't have hands. You can even hear him talk about it at times of like even questioning himself like, man, can I catch all these interceptions that hit my hands last year that I didn't get? Azeez Al-Shaair continues to have an amazing season. That stood out to me, him having this interception on the highlight that we just played. But also, like, the noticeable difference with him not being out there last week as opposed to being out there this week, you can tell the value of having him out there. First Pro Bowl season, Azeez Al-Shaair continues to have an amazing season. That stood out to me in this game, man.
Second, third most takeaways as a team, this Houston Texans team this year. And it is, what, fourth most interceptions? It's crazy because early on in the season, it didn't feel like it. So we have not talked about it as much as we did last year. This is a year-over-year takeaway defense. And do you know how absurd that is?
Yeah.
Like, in the statistic nerdy circles, that's the thing is, like, turnovers aren't sticky. Yep. The idea is that year-over-year, you are not supposed to be able to depend on turnovers being there again. A lot of other defensive things, being able to cover, being able to rush the passer, those are things year-over-year you can expect to have, which this team has done. They're also like, we're going to take the football away, too.
Yeah.
We're going to do that as well.
Yeah. So that leads me into another thought, though. Because this is also related, the Andre Gadsden tight end rookie that we mentioned earlier. My goodness, man, what an awful, awful day. He ended up making some plays later on in the game that helped him out, but he had no less than two drops, one of them that led to that interception that we just played from Azeez Al-Shaair. And there was another, this was a little bit of a nondescript play because it was a run play, I believe, but he's supposed to be blocking Jalen Petrie in space and completely whiffs on the guy, completely whiffs, and ends up being what kind of just basically blew up that play, was allowing Jalen Petrie to kind of get through the gap there. So I noticed that, man. This guy had an awful day, which brings me to a prevailing thought from this game. All right? The Chargers lost this game just as much as the Texans wanted. I don't feel like you got to do an either or type of thing. I don't feel like you got to discredit the Texans for the plays that they made. I started this thing shouting out Azeez Al-Shaair. I mentioned earlier in the show how Derek Stingley Jr., and that's going to come up again in passing thoughts, but how I was impressed with what Derek Stingley Jr. did. Of course, we know how the game started with the two deep shots to go up 14-0 just like that. But, dude, the Chargers, the drop that I mentioned from Andre Gadsden, the rookie tight end, and then again, the field goals. They lost by 4 points, couldn't capitalize on turnovers, could not convert for the quarterback, could not protect the quarterback at times, allowed him to be sacked 5 times. And the difference being 4 points and you had the most accurate kicker of all time out there, missing a field goal and an extra point, I thought the Chargers lost this game just as much as the Texans won it.
I mean, that feels very much the case. And have we come too far to do the Chargers are going to Charger thing? Because there was a point in time in history where that was the prevailing narrative, is that the Chargers are going to Charger. And
they did Charger.
There
you
go.
It's literally what they did.
We got some of that right back. Can I say, though, within them chargering, I think some of this is, I am so happy, and I forgot how infrequently this has happened recently compared to how much it happened for me more in the past. I kind of enjoy not having to watch a Greg Roman offense all the time. That's what's happening over there for the Chargers. Like,
yeah.
Now, the offensive line clearly was an issue. But Greg Roman is such an interesting figure in NFL football in that for the first couple years, it's going to be great.
It's got an expiration date on it, it feels like.
Every
right?
time, man.
Best sell by.
Colin Kaepernick in that time period. Mm-hmm. It worked for a little bit and then got stale. Remember, he was a Cam Newton? He coached Cam Newton for a while. Cam worked Newton. For a little bit.
Lamar.
Didn't.
Lamar Jackson. Yep.
Worked for a little bit, didn't. We're back in that place where it feels like it's not quite doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, but at the same time, it also just felt like they didn't have, like, I think I underestimated or underplayed going into the game how much Justin Herbert was really carrying that operation.
Oof.
Like, I did not realize it. Maybe didn't give it enough thought. I definitely didn't give enough thought to how injured their offensive line was. But just overall, the fact that they had to rely on a rookie tight end to the degree that they did, you know, the fact that, you know, that they got a rookie running back in Amarion Hampton that they're relying on as much as they are.
Highly drafted one. So that one makes sense.
Yeah,
to me, though.
But fair enough. But it's just like, okay, and the Texans are kind of in a similar situation where they're relying on rookies. But I just didn't realize how important the rookies were for them. And how much it was that, and I'm a Justin Herbert guy. I'm part of the Justin Herbert problem, the propaganda problem that exists. But
you can see some of it in this game.
Yeah,
though.
Saturday was a day where I felt vindicated, and a reason why I'm never selling my Justin Herbert stock, no matter what y'all.
It's also
say.
Worth noting, and I will add on to the propaganda. They're gonna be mad at me. It'd be like that. 713-572-4610. If you're mad at me, he's doing this with one hand.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that should be ignored. He in here basically using, like, I don't know what it was. It was a mitt. And it's not like just a regular mitt. And it's like a big old rigid mitt on his non-throwing hand.
And it looked like his hand was dangling either on that first sack or the second one early in the game, right? Either the Hunter or the Anderson sack, one of those two. His hand looked like it didn't look functional. And then there he is out there still trucking people by the end of the game. So yeah, they definitely, to me, Chargers lost this game just as much as the Texans won it. Another passing thought, and this is very much relevant to the conversation around the game, and I might make some people mad about this, but I didn't disagree with the tone of the TV broadcast. I agree with everybody else who says the quality was bad. I just thought that Kurt Warner and specifically Rich Eisen as a combination were not good, and Rich Eisen as a play-by-play, just not nearly as good as a talk show host or as a Sports Center anchor or whatever. However, we originally know Rich Eisen, play-by-play ain't it. But I didn't disagree with the tone of the broadcast. It kind of seemed like it favored the Chargers a little bit more than the Texans. I thought that that was appropriate because of the fact that the Chargers were the one that were peeing down their legs.
Oh, so you thought of it in the way of their goal as a broadcaster. Yes, it's to guide you through the game, but it's also to keep you here.
Yeah.
Make you not change.
This is literally what is happening in the game. Now, they messed up one of those illegal contact calls where they thought it was on the wrong defensive back.
Looking at the entirely wrong.
Just look at this. And so that was bad. That was bad quality. But the idea, you know, that a penalty, if they were right, that a penalty like that would be a horrible way to decide a game or whatever, I get that. And especially on the heels of the Chargers peeing down their leg throughout the whole game. So to me, like, it was noticeable to me as somebody that was rooting for the Texans how badly the Chargers were giving the game away. The kicks, not taking advantage of the turnovers, Justin Herbert getting sacked, all those things that I just mentioned before. The tone of the broadcast, I thought, should have reflected the fact that the Chargers were melting, collapsing. I agreed with that part for as bad of a quality as I thought the broadcast was.
Yeah, the quality of the broadcast, because I'm usually someone who does not lean too heavily into the broadcast itself. I've often said that I'm here for the football. The broadcast, it just kind of is here.
Right.
More than I would even realize, it popped out to me. And I was like, damn, has Rich Eisen always been this bad at play-by-play?
He's not good.
Because I feel I've watched these NFL Network games late in the season before when Rich Eisen has to jump in and do play-by-play. And I feel like it has not been this noticeable to me in the past. And maybe it's just because, you know, cover this team, talk about it a lot, it popped out. You know what it felt like to me? It felt like they only went to the production meeting for the Chargers, because so many of the things were like, oh, well, Jim Harbaugh likes calling this, talking about this with the Chargers. Like, I don't even remember what the specific cultural reference, pop culture reference was that he kept using. Oh, Mission Impossible. He kept talking about it being Mission Impossible.
Well, they made a nice little cute graphic for what all the things that they thought Justin Herbert is.
And that's cute. And that's cool. I'm not upset with it. Why is this the thing that you keep coming back to and hitting over the head with? Like, I feel like we could move this around. D'Amico ain't say nothing cute in his? No, you didn't do that?
Normally not. You know, like if I had to.
That is fair. If we're talking about quaint folksy stuff, it's going to be Jim Harbaugh and not D'Amico Ryans. I get that. But, yeah, like, that was the thing that was most annoying, is that they were luxuriating in the, look at all the quaint folksy stuff that was said by the Chargers stuff. And I was like, hey, it's not really appropriate here. Does not matter here.
Man, there was a point where they were referencing their pre-production meeting with D'Amico Ryans and something that he said about their defense, because obviously it's the best defense in the league. And he gave them a line that sounded very familiar. Starts up front.
But it does, though.
It does.
It do be starting up front.
But what they supposed to do with that after they say it the first time? Can they come back to that?
What you supposed to do with Mission Impossible when you say it every damn time? Look, I remember at least three times vividly, and not in quick succession.
They might just be Mission Impossible.
I was mad at Tom Cruise by the time the game was over.
Fair enough. But no, I did not disagree with the tone of it, because I did think that it was most noteworthy that the Chargers were losing the game. Now, with that in mind, a couple of guys that I want to acknowledge here as we go through these passing thoughts. Dalton Schultz.
Hey.
The penalty that he got. Wasn't mad at him.
Agree. Strong agree.
Hey, wasn't mad at all.
That man deserved what he did to Dalton Schultz.
No, don't say that man. Say his name. Tier Tart. You're better than that, dog.
I didn't remember, to be honest with you.
If this is what it's got to be, Tier Tart, a former Texan, by the way.
That's right.
If this is what it's got
to
be.
Hey, there's an argument to be made. I mean, he made his own wealth. I don't want to do that. But there's an argument to be made that he earned his flower, like he bloomed his flower here.
Yeah, no, 100%. He definitely used this as a launching point for his career. But to that point, like,
man, take them yards back. You can have this down and distance. You can, man, we can go home. But you're not supposed to kick me in the back of the head and slap me and just think that I'm not going to say nothing.
Kick is nice.
I mean,
kick is a nice way of describing what he did.
Yo, what are we doing here?
I don't know if the babies are in the car. I understand it's the holiday season. I'm pretty sure he put his manhood on the back of that man's helmet.
Come on now. Come on now. And I heard the morning guys talking about this. If there was one thing that Rich Eisen and I thought the broadcast team got right was this, was like, how is it that we have cameras everywhere? We can replay what feels like everything. I know you can't actually replay everything, but you got booth assistants, replay assistants. You got other people that are watching the game that are not necessarily on the field. Somebody should have been able to say, hey, he didn't just push that man, this 300-something-pound man to the ground who flopped, by the way.
Big flop.
For no reason. He didn't just do that because he got an attitude problem. This man put his manhood on the back of his head and slapped him. He slapped him. So man parts on my head and you slap me? Come on now. You deserve at least a push, if not us, a one-on-one. So I wasn't mad at him. Another one as we end these passing thoughts. Danico Autry. This is maybe a little bit more controversial. Wasn't mad at him either.
Oh, for the tripping?
Listen, I don't think, and this is a rules thing, I think it was properly called based on what the rule actually is. This is just me speaking out against the rule a little bit. I don't think you should be able to just flat out trip a guy. Like, that's dirty. But once you grab somebody and get them in your grasp, I feel like you should be able to do anything short of kicking them in the nuts or spitting on them to get them down to the ground. So no nut punching, no spitting, none of that. But if you
what about two good fingers to the eyes?
Nah, I don't do that.
Just a little poke.
But look,
that's a little brutal.
I got some pocket sand.
I got you in my grasp, and you kind of trying to slip away here. I feel like I should be able to trip you at that point. So I wouldn't mad at him at that for that either. He's a, they call him a junkyard dog. He got that dog in him, and I think that was just more of the doggedness in him as opposed to trying to, you know, create some kind of illegal play, which again I think should be legal once you touch a guy.
Okay, all right. I think that's interesting. How did you feel about the officiating in general in this game?
Yeah, I never like it. And it's also the reason why I hate to complain about it. Sometimes it's egregious enough for us to have to talk about. But no, I'm never really a fan these days of officiating overall. I just don't want to be the guy that harps on it, especially after a win.
I'm glad. Because I was going to make this a confession. I'm tired of talking about refs, but I understand that it impacts games at times. Yeah. It did not impact this game in the large scale, so I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
like that's where I am. Felt like they were incompetent enough both ways. I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's that's the thing that I won't abide, though. If you've seen the few Chargers fans that there are, getting mad about they lost the game because of this. And I'm like, wasn't the previous drive like extended a number of times because
The Jalen Petrie penalty is the one that, I think sticks out the most if we're talking about one, especially from a Texan standpoint, but they ended up winning the game.
They did win the game. And with winning the game, they continue to extend out their second longest win streak in the history of the franchise. For the third time in the third straight year, they booked their ticket to the playoffs.
Yes.
And they're looking to maybe put up a 12-win season.
Yeah, just waiting on an opponent. Show me, Lil Wayne style, show me my opponent. That's
okay.
Where I'm at now.
Okay.
Show me my opponent.
I like it. Colts, you're being overlooked. How's that sound? All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, no Figgy Fig in on the day, but we still going to get you the mixtape where I'm interested in a little bit of Hot Mic. We'll do a little bit of that because where did Booger McFarland spend his money? And also, what are the most ridiculous reasons that people have called 911? We'll do all that next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually. You get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed, it is the mixtape right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I am not Figgy Fig. Figgy Fig got the week off. He'll be back soon enough, enjoying the holidays. But I am Reginald Attitude of In the Loop. We got B. Scott in for the OG John Lopez.
Yes, sir.
And shout out to Colin Neal on the ones and twos filling in for one Fig Word Fid. Fig. It didn't work as well as I thought it would in my
word.
Head. You know, sometimes you say something, it's in your head, and you're like, I'm just going to let that one ride.
He,
and you're
he combined the man's nickname with his government name, which is Edward, and made him Figward.
You better hope he ain't listening right now.
What'd he call me?
Figgy is so chill, too.
I was going to say.
All right, man.
I look, me and Figgy, we good.
Yeah.
But if we weren't, what he going to do about it? You know what I mean? Like, if we being real.
Okay, but PC filling in on the loop one time, sometime last year, called him Doctor of Figonomics.
The doctor, that's kind of nice.
That's,
you know what that
hilarious.
Sounds like? That sounds like a nickname from the ABA. Like back when nicknaming, you know, why did we lose the talent of giving people good nicknames? Yeah. I feel like we done lost
yeah,
that
we
in
are,
society.
We are not as good with nicknames. I noticed this one. Anyway, I know we were trying to come up with, I mean, maybe we're just not as decisive either when we're trying to come up with the defensive
yeah.
nickname. It's like, man, we had some good ones, we had some stinkers, but boy, we couldn't make up our mind worth a damn.
Come on, man. I'm still sticking with mine, the Swarmanon.
The Swarm. I feel like Swarmageddon hits different, though.
I like both of those.
I think the Swarmageddon, I've been waiting.
See, I'm part of the problem.
I think Swarmageddon, yes. But also, you know what it is? We have, in our society just generally, we have made things more open. We have
yes.
added more people
oh
to processes.
God.
You know what the nickname was?
You
know what the nickname would have been back in 1985? Whatever the sports editor decided
yes.
was best.
Yes.
It would have just been like, hey, what'd you say over there? All right, that's the one that we're printing. Send it to print, and that'll be the nickname. It's going to show up on the front page, and everybody's going to answer that.
I mean, literally how we became Clutch City.
Without question.
Like, I forget if it was the Chronicle or the Post, but one of them newspapers back in the day came up with Clutch City, and we've been Clutch City ever since.
That's just how it is.
Or what they started with Choke City.
Yes, Choke City was the nickname. And then, was the, and
right,
then when it, they answered the call.
Right. But it's born from that.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
I realize that I am somehow minutes into the segment, and I have not done any of the segments.
Oh, I thought that was it. Was that not? What was the? I thought that was the title.
No, that was just me BSing.
Hang on. Reset.
Thank you, Colin. You are indeed on the Mixtape Sports Radio 610. Let's do a little bit of hot mic. I love hot mic.
All right.
Get into these different broadcasting scenarios and situations. Sunday Night Football, which we have not talked about to this point. We don't have to do the reel of it. It was a real up and down affair. Defense, it was optional in that game. And San Francisco outlasted the Chicago Bears 42-38. Chicago had a pick six on the first play. Trent Williams left on the first play, and you knew this game is going to be bananas, and it delivered. What delivered in a different way was, one, Chris Collinsworth. It may not be what you want, but it is very consistent. I appreciate that. Brock Purdy was having a game, and I got to give him his love because the whole seventh round pick, whole thing, like
Mr. Irrelevant.
I had my qualms for a long time. He is.
He's nice, man. Got to give credit where it's due. Kid is nice.
He is. And while he was doing that, Chris Collinsworth got into the flow of it, and he did Chris Collinsworth things.
And Brock Purdy doing some extra special stuff on that last play.
Brock Purdy was drafted when they were cleaning up the joint, but here he goes. He's cleaning up the Bears so far tonight. I mean, if this were Patrick Mahomes, we'd be screaming, oh, Patrick Mahomes. I know I would be screaming. But that's the way it works because he has made those kinds of plays all night long and just been carrying the 49ers. And I don't know what all this is.
It's the Dougie.
That's the Dougie?
Yeah, the dance coming in, the Dougie, yeah, the whole deal. Yeah.
That is the Collinsworth experience to a T.
Is that the Dougie?
I did look. Did you see that play that he was alluding to? With
yes.
Brock Purdy where doing like a slide to the side.
Back, to the side, to the back, and then to the front, and then delivers a strike. I thought he was about to run it at that point.
Yeah, he was he was over there doing the electric slide and then throwing a football.
Boy, he's nice.
Oh, come on now. That's Patrick Mahomes out there.
This is a guy. Yeah, and of course, he has to give you the Patrick Mahomes. In fact, to that end,
it was a Mahomesian type of play.
It really was. Yes, he wasn't wrong in that. But shout out to the voice of the people, the Italian Stallion himself, Mike Tirico, for pulling Chris Collinsworth's card.
I got to say, though, honestly, what I love about you is you still have your speed.
What?
Because you beat the internet to beat you up.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned Mahomes.
Yeah. I like memes.
So you just jump right there and go to it.
Yeah, I do. I see a lot of that.
Turn it over a new leaf for 2026.
Don't bet on it.
He had to get his Mahomes references, and I appreciate Collinsworth being like, or sorry, Tirico being like, you do that all the time.
Yeah,
but you just had to. You couldn't stop yourself. He's not in this game. He's not even playing football right now.
But to be fair, I understood exactly what he meant. Like, I was, for the most part, like, it was a little glazing going on there.
A little.
But I understood where he was coming from. And I'm trying to imagine calling that game live and being responsible for giving the live reaction that the whole world is listening to and watching. I mean, that was a hell of a play. I cannot knock him, even though he can be a little bit obnoxious and corny.
Yeah, but one thing I will say, and I maybe this is a hot take, I don't know. I really like the way this partnership is coming along.
Is that the Dougie?
Like, Chris Collinsworth.
Is that what that Dougie looks like that there?
Collinsworth knows his role. He is here to be somebody's daddy. Yeah. He is here to tell the corny jokes. But the one thing I will never knock Collinsworth for, because you can knock him for the jokes, you can knock him for the glazing of one Patrick Mahomes. The thing that I say that I want from my broadcasters, first and foremost, sound like you enjoy watching football. And yeah. He never sounds like he does not enjoy it. He is having a blast watching football. And that's what I want, because I want to have fun. So how am I supposed to have fun if you don't sound like you're having fun?
Yeah, he's having fun. Obviously, he's the leader of Pro Football Focus. So he comes in there and he brings numbers, but he doesn't just recite numbers. You can tell, like, he does a good job of explaining it, and you can tell the passion behind it, how much he loves the game. I will give him that much. I don't think you can take that away from him.
No, you can't. And then, of course, Tirico, go ahead and play in. If you're going to be the straight man, that's fine, but give me a little bit of jab at the man a little bit. So that was really fun. I enjoyed that. And salute to Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers getting a win over the Chicago Bears. One actual sports thing I'll put here. Holy crap, is it weird to be in the year of our Lord 2025, even though we are 40 years away from the 85 Bears, a team in the Bears or franchise that is kind of, you think of them, you think of defense, they don't have a lick of it.
Dude.
If they're not creating a turnover, it's not there.
But also on the other end, you what you don't think about when you think about the Bears is offense or specifically quarterback play. Because they haven't had a good one, like, almost literally ever. Like, Jay Cutler, you could argue, has been the best quarterback that they've had of our lifetime. Like, they are that, or maybe the one-off year that they had of Mitch Trubisky when he went to the Pro Bowl. Maybe that was their rookie year, their second year.
Like, the Rex Grossman disrespect.
Yeah, exactly.
He said yes.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. The quarterback, the one guy that took him to a Super Bowl, nobody even thinks he's, one of their better guys that they've had. So, now they got offense. Now they've got a quarterback that can make plays for them. Now, it's a little maddening that he misses on so many, like layups.
He makes Steph Curry threes.
Yes.
But does not make the Shaq dunks. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got a Shaq dunk right here, and he clanks it. So that's a little bit maddening. But, man, I watched both of these teams and thought, yo, give me more of that in the postseason. I don't know how far they can go. I don't know if they're going to the Super Bowl, but give me that. I'll watch them in the playoffs in an NFC championship game or in a Super Bowl if it comes down to it. That was entertaining.
I love the NFC. One, because it's the NFC, and I don't have to think about it in a academic way. I can just watch the ball, and the ball is fantastic in the NFC right now. I've got to admit.
Yeah.
We continue in the mixtape right here on Sports Radio 610. One more of the hot mic. I will take you to the Pop-Tarts Bowl between two teams and two programs that, let's be honest, are the antithesis of the feeling of the Pop-Tart Bowl in Georgia Tech and BYU. Although, shout out to Kalani Sitake, who very much embraced the Pop-Tart Bowl. Did you see him?
I did.
After the game. So what they do with the Pop-Tart Bowl is you have actual edible mascots, quote unquote, and the mascots are unhinged. They're doing all sorts of things. And at the end of the game, they willingly sacrifice themselves to the toaster. And then you have big old Pop-Tarts that, you know, the teams are supposed to eat. Kalani Sitake, who is the head coach of BYU, the winning team in this game, and a man who was very close to being lured away to Penn State, who stayed there, he jumped in and just got a face full of Pop-Tart. He looked like a squirrel when they just fill in their face.
Yeah, and better him than me. I love that he was like in the spirit and kind of leaned in. I would hate to, and we kind of got one of these jobs where it's public and you go out and you play into the crowd a little bit. This is one I would not have wanted to do. So shout out to him, because better him than me. I wouldn't have wanted to put my face nowhere near none of them human Pop-Tarts.
Hey, it's the people's national championship, the Pop-Tarts.
That's right. That's right. You talk about bowl games. They have created an identity that actually resonates. But outside of that, during the halftime, you know, they go to the ESPN, goes to the studio for the halftime show.
Yeah.
At one point in one of those, like real quick before the bumper, Booger McFarland, who is, you know, notable ESPN employee for a little bit. He was on Monday Night Football or whatever. This is him when he was asked about his most memorable bowl game appearance and what his biggest memory was.
You got a yellow jacket, marching band right now on the field. Boog, your favorite memory playing in a bowl game?
Yeah, but my first experience in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. First time getting per diem, $987. Went to one nice establishment and I gave it all away. They have some good wings, though.
Lemon pepper wings.
Lemon pepper wings.
Yeah, that's...
Yes, me and Lou Williams have something in common.
Yes, Lou's a big fan of lemon pepper wings.
You want to talk about keeping it 100. Shout out to Mo Karam Injury Lawyers.
That's right.
Yo, this was Boog keeping it all the way a buck.
He didn't even come...
Look, you want to know? Let me tell you.
He didn't have the, like, back pocket, this is the political correct answer. He was like, nah, I was at the shake joint.
But he delivered it in a family-friendly and politically correct way, which what was understood did not necessarily need to be explained.
Correct.
We all adults knew what he was talking about.
And to that point, I gave away the game and called it the shake joint, which I actually wonder how many people actually know that parlance. But what percentage of people watching the Pop-Tart Bowl live do you think knew that Booger McFarland was talking about taking his Pop-Tart Bowl, or not Pop-Tart, his bowl game earnings or what have you, and taking them to Magic City, a strip joint in Atlanta, and blessing the women working
there? That's the beauty of it. For some people, they knew exactly what he meant. Other people had to go Google Lou Williams and Lemon Pepper Wings, and then somebody else just like let it fly. Just went.
They thought he went and just did donations. He's like, oh, look at this. He's such a sweet young man.
He probably went completely over their heads.
He just went and donated his wings. By the way, I have not been physically to Magic City. Apparently there is and funny enough, because of the time of the year, I think a few years back, maybe 4 or 5 years back, a friend of mine had a New Year's Eve party where they ordered Magic City wings.
So the wings are like, it's not just a Lou Williams thing. It's something that people are DoorDashing.
Oh, do people, it's not even DoorDash. Like they had to order them to get sent and then you heat them up. And I was like, I don't know what the effect is on these, but they were good sent that way. So I was like, I can only imagine what it's like there. I don't think people actually realize the phenomenon that is Magic City Wings in Atlanta. Like
wings sold separately.
Or not even just Magic City Wings. any strip club there. Apologies for those who, you know, don't want to get into this area, but it is just a restaurant to a lot of people's mind. Like, it's still a booty club. But there are people that will be like, "What I'm trying to eat. I am going to Magic City. I am going to the strip club to get the food." Like, it is that phenomenon there.
Imagine you like wings. Imagine you like naked women. Imagine combining good wings and naked women, right? Like,
and imagine that the wings are so good that you're like, "I'm not going for the naked women."
Right. Or just like you could just be chowing down on a wing primarily and just look up and be like, oh wow,
yeah, that's
cool.
Nice.
That's cool.
This is some great philosophical conversation.
Because it's actually, I view it as a philosophically interesting thing. Like, yeah. Atlanta is such a culture, and it's similar to Houston, but Houston does not have to this level where you just go to Onyx just to get something to eat. And, oh yeah, that's right, they do be having people up here taking their clothes off. Like, it's not that. That's such a wild Atlanta thing.
Some people eat their wings and they want to know how many TVs they got. Other people eat their wings and want to know something else. How many something else they got? It's all relative.
What are you counting in this instance?
Well.
Oh, I feel like you shouldn't answer that. Don't answer that.
I was going to say there are sets.
Got you. All right.
Am I multiplying by two?
Isn't it interesting that on the top half, we count those as sets, but on the bottom half, that's one?
Yeah, it is.
Anyways, that is the mixtape.
Is that boy math?
The mixtape. I didn't even get to the wild reasons why people call 911. I'll save that for tomorrow's mixtape. That's what we call a tease in the business. The mixtape every weekday at 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Still hit at the Figgy Fig if you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy. He'd appreciate that. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive and the birthday boy, Clint Sterner. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit more about this Texans victory. We'll do that next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
It's to Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
And a very fun Reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Let me run that back. It's been a very fun Victory Reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 after the Texans got a 20-16 victory over the Los Angeles Chargers, go to 11-5. Yes, that is in fact the record. Solidify their spot in the playoffs, and thanks to the Buffalo Bills losing yesterday to the Philadelphia Eagles, currently sit as the 5 seed in the National Football League.
However you feel about it.
I mean, look, 5 is better than 7 just inherently in that way. I like anything that gives me a possibility of being at a playoff game at NRG Stadium. Now, of course, the circumstance would have to be really weird for you to end up in a place where, as the 5 seed, you end up hosting a game after that first week. But with the AFC the way that it is this year, only God knows like who loses in some circumstance. Like I don't think that I'm that sold that any of the teams that are going to be 1-4 are absolutely – well, 1 obviously wouldn't matter – in that instance, but those teams are absolutely going to get wins in the wild card round.
Yeah, but and even to the point of 1, and I know it doesn't matter, but all of the teams, I think there's a combination of things, and we've been hitting on this quite a bit on the station for a while now, but it's both the landscape and, to be fair to the Texans, the brand of football that they're playing. We're frustrated by the offense. We want them to do more. We want them to be more consistent. We want to feel like it's actually a threatening offense and not just an offense that feels like it's playing defense or feels like it's playing keep away. Like, we want more. But to their credit, the brand of football that they've been playing, kind of being a defensive-focused, defensive-first team, feels like something that that both travels in the playoffs, on the road, and then specifically against an AFC landscape that does not scare you in the ways that it did in the past when – let's say the Chiefs were at the height of their powers, or it felt like the Bills and the Ravens and the Bengals that for a small stretch there were better than they are today. So these things combined make you feel good about both the landscape and how you fit into it.
For sure. Against my better judgment, I would like to turn to the phone line. And honestly, I already went against my better judgment, as I do most days, with the mixtape and shouting out Booger McFarland and how he spent his bowl money back in the day. That led us to a conversation about certain establishments.
Yeah, quite the primer here.
And I am certain that one Larry and Stafford has something to say about that. So we turn to the phone line. Larry, what's happening, man?
How you living, Larry?
You know I'm living good, B. Scott Reddy. Hey, man, happy Merry Christmas to y'all, and hope y'all have a new year coming up, man. But if you're going to talk strippers, man, you might as well let your boy get in here and get you some game. Look here, them Texans, that offense can be a lot better than it can be, man. We know that they got the whole wide receivers are the strongest part of the squad along with the quarterback. If Nick Haley just let them boys cook and eat, we'll be fine. So I'm in the adage in the corner of I'd replace his ass going into the playoffs if he don't want to call plays like he did in that first quarter against the Chargers, because that first quarter had everybody where I was at hyped, man, because it looked like finally the offense was clicking and our quarterback was clicking. And then what does he do? He go back and shut it down. So we know what the deal is. The defense is going to keep us in every game if they give us 21 to 24 points. It's just a matter of if Nick Taylor can pull his head out his ass and let them boys cut loose like they supposed to. Because Noel and Higgins and Nico, them boys are going to get us the points that we need if Nick Haley just get out the way. I just wanted to get that in. Now, let's talk strippers and strip clubs.
Let's.
Look here, man, if y'all don't understand how you go into a strip club and some of the best food is in the strip clubs, and I'm talking if you want a buffet of steak and wings and fries and fish and everything else, or if you want a buffet of ass, you just go into the strip club. Because here's the thing. In Houston, there's a strip club called the Men's Club. So me, Charles Barkley, and Kevin Willis, we was all in there. And they had a buffet along the lines of steak. They had strawberries covered in chocolate. They had champagne. They had wings at the Men's Club. And we used to go there. I think it was on Tuesdays. used to go there almost every Tuesday to go get us a buffet. Along with, they had this stripper in there, man, and she was fine as she could be, named Peanut Butter. And let me tell y'all a little bit about Peanut Butter.
Oh my goodness.
Peanut Butter had a combination of baby oil and baby powder that made her ass smell like heaven.
All right.
So cowboys really need to get out there and really understand what the strip clubs are like. Call your boy. I'll come get you, and I'll bring a caravan of dudes that'll let y'all know what's going on, especially at that Onyx in our hall.
You didn't disappoint, Larry. You really didn't. The only thing in your cell that I would advise you to shift, don't tell me you're bringing a caravan of dudes. That's the only thing that I didn't need. But everything else sounded very hospitable, and I appreciate that.
The baby oil and baby powder is what got me.
That said, I like that Larry's out here, like, call it a touchdown play, right? Like,
yes.
This is something I've been, you can attest to this, I've been kind of wrestling with all day is, all right, that's in there, right? Those two plays that you get early on in the game, that's in there. But what does it take for that to be there? Because I don't think that you just call the touchdown play. I think that some of that was your tendencies working for you in that instance because, you know, the Chargers defense sits. But I do feel, Larry, on the sentiment of, can we get more of that? And I feel like the reason why you get that is not Nick Caley. I think it's D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's D'Amico Ryans, and it's why I go back to the overall strategy and not just the play calling. This is why I'm a little bit lighter on Nick Caley. And while I'm taking into account and understanding the criticism and the frustration, because I'm right there, I'm watching the game, we're all watching the same thing, and we all know football at this point. Like, this is not either aesthetically pleasing, nor does it feel like it's maximizing, and this is probably more important than just the aesthetic part of it, right? The view and watching quality of it all, which does matter.
But, to me, it does.
But matters less than the actual, like, notion of, hey, are we leaving money on the table? Are we maximizing what we have here? You got a quarterback that wants to rip and run, or wants to, like, grip it and rip it, so to speak, wants to take shots, and here you are kind of neutering them to a degree. It's like, do you don't buy a Lamborghini to drive it in the school zone, so to speak, right?
Right.
And that's what it feels like they're doing. Like, they've bought the sports car, but they're doing minivan, a soccer mom minivan type of driving.
Ooh, which would be really bad because you can't fit no soccer balls or backpacks in that joint at all.
Exactly. Imagine that. You trying to fit your – I got three kids. I'm trying to fit all of their shenanigans.
Do they play any instruments? You got to fit a trumpet in there somewhere.
Yeah, man,
that's crazy.
They on the violin. They on the keys. I just went to their recital the other week, man. They on the violin. They on the keys. They doing tap. All that. I'm trying to put
they got
all,
smelly equipment in there.
I'm trying to put all of this stuff in the car, and I don't have no space. It's like, come on now. Let's not do the – square peg round hole thing. And this is like the opposite. The square peg round hole is like, you're not going to get anything out of it because it's so miscast. This is just leaving a lot on the touch, way too much meat on the bone. It's like you give an 8-year-old a chicken wing or a chicken leg, and they don't know how to eat the meat off the bone.
You know that kill, especially, you know, I'm African. We be getting to the cartilage.
It's like, hey man, you ain't finished with that.
Yeah,
you're not finished with that
right.
yet. It's kind of, their offense is kind of like that. It is the 8-year-old's piece of chicken left on the plate, knowing damn well that there's still more meat on the bone that should have been ate. Feeling like you're wasting food.
Yeah, that's always been something that has nagged at me. But they get another win. They continue to win with this being a formula of the way that they go about business. And so, at least on a Victory Reaction Monday, I am inclined to rock with it. I legitimately, this was a conversation I was having within myself all of Saturday long after that game was just, I think I gotta release this pent up desire for more, I guess, or whatever. Or I don't even know if that's the right way of terming it, but whatever I was looking at, I was just like, you just got to let that go and just ride with what they are doing. They are finishing games. They are doing what they need to do. So ultimately, I think that's going to be sufficient. How much, however, do you look at a game in which you go, they've been bad in the red zone, so I guess they just decided to not go?
Yeah.
Like, what did that do for you yesterday? Because I was sitting there and I was like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, they got the big plays out of this. They did not enter the red zone as an offense once. They passed right through it a couple of times, and then they just were like, we will not go there. That is not a land for us.
This is also... reluctantly, I say, this is also who they are, right? Like, there was a stretch, like, they've been bad in the red zone by and large, and they've been better as of late. But there was a stretch there where they were both bad and infrequent when it came to making red zone trips. They didn't get there a lot, and when they got there, they wasn't doing nothing with it. And so this was kind of a retro game in that aspect, and from that sense of not even having those opportunities outside of obviously the two big plays, which were not, as we mentioned, not red zone plays. They were bombs. So this is also just a part of who they are. They struggle to get to the red zone, and they struggle to operate once they get there. It's part of who they are, and that does raise the question of how sustainable is this once it is nut-cutting time in the playoffs.
Okay.
I will say this, though. The thing that I struggle with, I struggle acknowledging how great the defense is and then being mad about them playing into that. Like, I don't like the offense. Yeah. I want them to do more. But if I'm going to acknowledge this as a truth, that the defense is exactly what we think it is or what they've shown themselves to be over the course of the season, then I cannot knock them for playing a strategy or their strategy playing into that as much as I don't necessarily like it. And I know Clint Sterner and Ron Showhugley are going to break this thing down
You being Clint Sterner and looking all that strong and then being like, I'm going to carry all this weight all the time. I'm going to let these muscles relax every once in a while.
I don't
right?
like it, but it's hard to acknowledge. It's hard not to acknowledge that it's been working.
Yeah.
Here's
the thing is you're not wrong. I mean, you're spot on. I mean, the quandary you're in is it becomes an indictment on your quarterback that you're fixing to have to pay market set money.
That's fair.
It doesn't matter how good your defense is. If you're fixing to pay a guy and you believe you've got a guy that is a championship caliber quarterback in the face of an organization, and at some point it's got to be, hey, we trust our guy on the offensive side of the football to be aggressive at the end of the first half all the time and at least have a plan and know what the hell we're doing. I'm not saying that it's them. He's got to earn that too. But that's the quandary you're in here in Houston are you going to literally depend on a couple of touchdowns, 20 or maybe even 17 to 20, 23 points a game? And if you're going to do that, is it really smart to pay a quarterback $60 million a year in order to do that, right? So it becomes that quandary of you're not trusting your quarterback if that's the brand of ball you're going
to
play.
Well, and it goes back to my whole Lamborghini in the school zone thing, right? Like, you don't buy a Lamborghini if you don't plan to drive fast at any point, right? If all you're going to be doing is driving through the neighborhood, mm-hmm. taking the back streets, you don't get on the freeway, you don't take the tolls or nothing like that, go and get you your Corolla.
I did it. I had me a Vet. You know what I did? First time I got on that highway, I bounced it off the damn wall. I ain't had a sports car since. Hey, but you're right. That's a good. That's well said. That's right.
I mean, that's what it feels like.
Shout out to D&M Auto Leasing for the opportunity to cross talk with the fellas at the drive. We got our guy Ron the Show Hughley out here looking like a model of sorts. Look like you in a Gap ad or something.
Scarfy quit.
With the scarf on there, and then we got the birthday boy himself, Clint Sterner. Yeah, what a show on a Victory Action Monday.
Yeah, he came in dressed up for my birthday, didn't he?
He said he had to look nice for you, didn't he?
Yeah, he looks looking good.
That's
man.
A good coat.
How many scarves?
Look at that!
He got that shit back.
Let's cut to the chase, Tyler. The hell with these Texans. Shout out to them. It's a Victory Monday. We'll get there. I'm not going to let you open it. The last time you did, you almost put a hole in my...
For listeners, by the way, he just brought out the champagne. There is champagne in here.
I got a good sheetrock guy, baby.
Hey, here, I'll open up the champagne for
They're already, don't even worry about it. They're already doing construction up here. They can fix a hole in the wall.
There it is.
Hey, that's a good pop, too.
We can all celebrate.
That was
here.
A quick draw right there, man.
That was a quick draw, baby.
I did one on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and it took me forever to get that thing out.
I just remember the one you did in my house.
Hey, yo. I didn't need to know that about you,
right? Clint. Ceiling. That's what he did. I'm going to pour one for you, Tyler. I know you. Say you can't drink it, but whatever.
It's a thought that counts, baby. It's a thought that
very
counts.
Very good, very good.
Sitting here waiting
you boys know what? You know what's crazy here? Thank you, man. I appreciate this more than you know, man. More than you know.
D'Amico is going to come in here and ruin this at any second. He is. Go right to it. But happy 40, what is it, 7?
48.
Yeah, 48 birthday.
Get out of here.
48 birthday.
I was about to say it's your Christian Harris year, but I need to do that to you.
Keep that bottle open. We'll finish her off.
No, it's all yours, baby. There you go.
Hey, you know what, boys?
Take it to the head.
This is honest to God truth.
I like a good champagne. I couldn't find no flute glasses.
I guarantee Boss Lady got a couple of them back there under
the desk
somewhere.
Without question.
I couldn't find them.
Boys, y'all ain't going to believe this, but for about a month now, I've thought I was turning 49.
What?
Hey, I can see that.
I thought I was turning.
Where you kind of start to lose track a little bit?
Well, you lose track and you really don't care to count. You really don't count to recount.
Right.
You ain't losing that kind of track.
No.
I mean, I'm 30-something.
Hey, the wife said, happy 48.
It's a 3 on there somewhere.
Wait, 48? She said, yeah. I said, oh, hell yeah. Let's go, baby.
You are living a hell of a life. Because I would imagine getting that close to 50, I will know exactly how far away a 50
I am. I thought for sure I was like, damn, it is 48. I bought myself a year somehow,
baby.
Come on, man.
Man, I do this with my age, my kids' age. I'm close. Somewhere around about.
How old are you, Skeezy?
36.
Golly, see?
36.
He lives his raps because he did not know.
Yeah, 36.
you're older than my old lady.
Yeah, they're about 36.
I got 2 months.
Turned 36.
I got about a month and a half where I'm only 12 years older than my old lady. So that 6 week span right there, it 12 years.
One, huh?
12 years sounds a little better than 13. You know, you get them teens, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Well,
you really robbed the cradle here.
Yeah, kind of dancing along that line, huh?
Yeah, when we start talking. We start talking about the year I beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl in 2000. And I was like, baby, how old were you? She said 12. I said, oh, my God.
Nope. Yep.
Oh, I was graduating college and she was 12. So it's.
At least we remember 2000. We are reaching that point where, like, how seasoned you are does depend on how well you remember the year 2000. Like, because we got people who just don't have no familiarity with it.
They don't remember. What was it
I can
called?
Tell you where I was at and what I was doing.
Y2K? Is that what you're thinking?
Y2K. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what I did.
Country Grammar. We were playing Texas Grammar in the Cotton Bowl the next morning, and I was in the Renaissance Hotel, that oval-shaped hotel right there when you were going to Dallas. And I remember looking out my old curtain, the old curtain in the hotel room. I don't remember what it was, way up top on the floor. Watch that old thing. Midnight struck. All the lights stayed on. Remember the it was the city's going so dark.
I remember.
Them lights stayed on. I said, all right, we can go to bed and play a little ball tomorrow. Boys.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
That was the old senior year. Whoop Texas ass. I'm a Longhorn. Larry, I'm a Longhorn fan. Skeezy, I'm a Longhorn fan out there. I got bragging rights.
And you got bragging rights on the day. The Texans got a victory, so it's a Victory Reaction Monday. And
it's
Old Dirty Red's birthday. So you were in for a fantastic Monday edition of the greatest damn sports show in all of Houston, The Drive. B. Scott, been a pleasure. I'll catch you for the next couple of days as well, won't we?
We'll do.
So we'll do it again tomorrow.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.